Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we spent the last hour talking to Ted Dabrowski. He is a president of Wire Points. He previously was the vice president of policy and spokesman for the Illinois Policy Institute. He has announced his candidacy to win the Republican nomination to be governor of the state of Illinois. I encourage you to check out the podcast and listen to what Ted had to say. See if he has your support. You can go to tedforillinois.com to learn more there. We are talking, of course, about the development that was released this morning that they do have in custody the suspect who assassinated Charlie Kirk. And those are words that are still difficult to say, still difficult to accept. And we all have to ask ourselves, what happens next? Our YouTube poll for today, is this the turning point for the country? Yes for the better, yes for the worst, or worse, or no, nothing changes. Vicky said, I say yes for the worse, though. The left does not want to make this better. They want their opposition gone. However, that has to happen. The only caveat I would say to that, Vicky, is I don't think that that's what the actual, like, the people who vote Democrat, I don't think that those are those people. I think we have people who are maybe in influencer territory and political parties that are trying to get attention. They probably believe the things that they're saying, even when they're heinous. We need to have a society and a culture that calls out those things and says, you need to stop. Just knock it off. Stop. We're not accepting this anymore. This is not how a civil society behaves. I think that's the thing we can pull from Charlie outside of his faith, which we've talked about a lot this week. I think that when you look at his rabid engagement in civil discourse, that is the thing that we can walk away from with Charlie Kirk and walk into the next thing and try to amplify the understanding of civil discourse and essentially an agreement to disagree in a civil way. 314-241-9797. We're going to take some phone calls here on that specific question. Is this the turning point for the country? Yes for the better, yes for the worse, or no, nothing changes? Let's start here with Austin. Austin, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think about this moment for the country?
Well, I appreciate you allowing me on to your show, and I've been a big fan for a very long time. I think it's definitely heading in the right direction with this incident, and that's mainly because what I was referring to and talked to the gentleman who answered the phone originally, I was just saying that I've been a longtime follower of Charlie Kirk, a longtime listener to your show as well. But I've always been like a silent follower. I don't post things. I don't say things. I don't really show my support on social media in any way, shape, or form. I try and stay as neutral as possible. And learning about what happened to Charlie a couple days ago, like, it changed me. It woke me up, is what I was saying earlier.
Austin, what is it about, you said that you kind of, it doesn't sound like you changed your political beliefs, but maybe your approach. What is it that you feel compelled to do now that maybe you didn't before this incident happened?
Not necessarily being worried about what other people's opinions on my views are. I feel more confident and willing to share those views and be more open with those views. Because usually it's just, I always look, I never post. I always see what other people post. I never really post anything on my own or say anything on my own. I just listen. And I think that's it's allowed me to be more comfortable in my own skin and my own approach and my own opinions.
Austin, just before we let you go, several listeners in the YouTube chat are curious about your age, if you don't mind my asking. You can give me an age range if you don't want to say specifically.
I am 29.
29. Austin, we appreciate your phone call. Truly, from me to you, thank you for listening to the show and being a part of this audience. And it's great to hear your voice.
All right. Thanks for everything you do, Annie. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. I wonder the generational imprint that Charlie Kirk has had on the youth of this country. How much, I mean, you want to talk about long-term investment in the direction of the country. Let's get to Helen. Helen, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. Your thoughts on whether or not this is a turning point for the country?
I can only speak for myself, and I'll just preface with, I just turned 30 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm a wife of a first responder, mother of three sons under the age of three. So my heart goes out to his wife and his kids. More importantly, I have somewhat recently recommitted my life to Christ. So for me, it's a spiritual turning point. As soon as I saw the news, I felt convicted. And I know God is telling me, get real or get out. It's been a turning point in my prayer life. And I know it's going to be a turning point in my kids' life, my husband's life. We've prayed together for the first time since we've been married, which has been 5 years. It's going to be a turning point for myself, and I hope and pray that it's a turning point for others and that the fire only gets fanned from here. So, yes, it is a turning point, and it's going to be a turning point for the better because this world is not our home.
Helen, I can only imagine the embrace that Charlie Kirk would like to put around you and your family for what you just said. I can't think of better words to honor him and his legacy than what you've just said here. Thank you for being with us. You know, you wonder, like, that's not even a political turning point. You know, we're talking about spiritual here, and for a lot of people to feel emboldened to be who they are, to be you know, something that maybe you grew up with but didn't ascribe to, you're kind of coming face to face with what you think, what you feel, what you believe. And that can have a reverberating effect on not just individuals, but like we just heard from Helen, families as well. Rich, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think about this moment and the possibility that it's a turning point for the country?
Hi, Annie. How are you? I think it's going to be a turning point that's very positive because it's clear to see that Charlie had a lot of support for President Trump, and I think that helped President Trump get over the, you know, to do the sweep that he did. But it's just a shame that our country has got into this, you know, do stuff like this that is so meaningless, and we're not a third world company or country. We're the best country on earth, and I think it's going to change. People are too smart not to realize what's going on. So thank you for taking my call.
Of course, Rich. Thank you for calling us. We really appreciate you. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, if you'd like to call and join the conversation. I want to read a couple more comments from our live chat before we get to some more phone calls here. Doug said on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, nah, nothing will change. This has already turned into people putting on their jerseys to blame guns and rhetoric. Erica says, I don't think anything will change. In a week or two, unfortunately, this will be old news. I don't think I agree with that, Erica. I think that the future is not comparative enough to the past. I think the loss of Charlie is too big to allow things to go back to business as usual. Betsy said, I chose yes for the better, trying to be hopefully optimistic. Russell said, no, you can use the media and social media as an example, I guess being a little disheartened by the people who are participating in somewhat of a hateful way talking there. Ender on our YouTube chat said, yes, for the better. However, the better, I'm pretty sure you meant, is not the better. I think things will become. So I guess there's ways to interpret that. 314-241-9797. Let's get to Michael here. Michael, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Do you think that this is a turning point for the country?
I hope so. I really do. I think that, but it's going to take leadership. It's going to take our media to change the course that has been on for about a decade now. Like, we've got to get back to hopefully having journalists and less of opinionated media outlets. You know, the structure and way things is really spiraling out of control where, you know, immediately when this situation happened, people resorted to their hate. They resorted to, you know, Democrats or liberals, this, whatever, and without even knowing the background of who did it and why, you know, and just resorting to what they want, which is a hate. And, you know, the more that's used as propaganda, the more unfortunate situation like this is going to happen. It's going to be a part of our environment. So if we want our environment to change, we really have to change course in the infrastructure of how we talk to people, how we have respect, you know, stop the name calling, stop the hateful words and degrading people's opinions and give opportunity to listen. You know, he didn't deserve to die or be killed because of his opinion, regardless if people will agree on him or not, you know. But look at the environment
in our country. Don't say he didn't deserve to die, but.
No, well, he didn't deserve to die.
Period.
But period. But here's the thing, and I hate to say but.
You are. You can't not.
What I'm saying is he didn't deserve that.
Period.
Right? Our environment, without having a but, our environment is a cesspool that begets that type of result.
Was Charlie Kirk a completely innocent man?
Yeah,
completely.
In my eyes, like I don't think he was killed out of hate.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. We don't know anything about the person who did it or why.
That's not true. And we know a lot about it. We know a lot about about the person who did it.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. His name is Tyler Robinson. He engraved on the bullets fascist catch and some socialist Nazi-esque Italian language. And he talked about, you know, if you see this, you're gay, LMAO, stuff like that. Like, we have those understandings. We have conversations about what he's had with Discord. We know about We know about the organizations that he was affiliated with. He's 22 years old. We know what he looks like. We know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying that, you know, I haven't received all of those information. But I'm just saying that the environment that we have is cataclysmic towards fueling those things. And that's what I'm saying that I hope change.
Yeah.
Right. You know, where it's not a media outlet where there's only one sided opinions and there is no respect for facts.
That's the majority of the media outlets that exist.
And it needs to change because this is not what you went to communication, mass communication for. You didn't learn that in college. Right.
When I was in college, uh-huh. I was told that Noam Chomsky was the center of left versus right and that Rush Limbaugh was radical. I was taught that in class, in a media class.
Mm. Yeah, we didn't talk about Rush Limbaugh, and I took mass communication as well.
We talked about
NBC Red and NBC Blue and, you know,
Professors ridiculed Sean Hannity when I was in class with them. They were aggressive towards it. I had a professor of media law who was aggressively pushing feminist ideals. I mean, I'm talking about three different teachers in these conversations, and that was in the mid 2000s. It's gotten way out of control. I agree with you that the media situation needs to be toned down.
Wrong.
But listen, I have never heard of a university setting where a radical conservative teacher was indoctrinating kids in a classroom.
It shouldn't happen either way. And that needs to be addressed. And that's what I'm saying as far as our infrastructure. People and young people should be able to go to schools and universities to learn facts and not be swayed to say this is right or this is wrong, but just learn the history and learn the facts, right? And unfortunately, we've become a propaganda machine in our media versus us versus each other. And you're wondering why no one is listening to each other or can hold a conversation, right? Our media outlets don't respect the opposition view.
Michael, last point before I let you go, and I've given you 5.5 minutes, and I know you listen to the show, and I know you don't agree, and I love that you call, and I love that you're willing to have a civil discourse here with us. I'm past a break, and I am appreciative. I knew when I put you on, I knew who you were, and I was glad that you called. But all I want to say is, in addition to your criticisms, which I think we would agree overall on, I think maybe some of the details we could agree to disagree on, I don't think that what we're facing right now as much is the mainstream media. I almost think that time has passed a little bit. I think it's social media. I think it's TikTok. I think it's Instagram. I think that's what's getting to our youth and radicalizing them. I don't think that they pay much attention to the mainstream media unless it's a clip on TikTok and somebody's reacting to it. So I will add that to your conversation and say both things need to be addressed.
Most definitely. Annie, I would like to say that you are different, and that's the reason why I listen to your show and support your show. Hopefully someday we can have coffee. And, you know, but I'm always optimistic. I believe that opinions can sway, and it's definitely a fortunate climate that we're in. But keep doing the work that you do.
Michael, I like coffee too. Maybe sometime. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. We agree.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's take a quick break. We've got a full board of phones. Well, Michael's line just opened, 314-241-9797. If you need a little bit of time here to talk about what's happened this week, we'd like to give it to you here on the Annie Fry Show. If you want to talk to us and you call in and it's busy, maybe somebody will drop because they don't want to hang over the break, steal their spot. 314-241-9797. Andrew Ty Hennybem. Is that how you say that? Greg and Gary. And the caller being taken on line four, we'll get to you next. Don't go away.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've got a full board of phones here, so we're going to take some more phone calls on our YouTube live chat poll for today. If you don't want to call in, but you do want to weigh in, we would love to have you join us on the YouTube live chat. You can leave comments there. Before you can chat, you got to be a subscriber for 5 minutes. That's all. Just kind of weeds out some of the trolls. But you can vote and tell us whether or not you think this is a turning point for the country. Yes for the better, yes for the worse, or no, nothing changes. All right, let me see here who's been holding on the most. Andrew, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think about this moment in our history and whether it is a turning point? Andrew, are you there? Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So I was on the phone with my daughter earlier. She's down at school. She's got four of the roommates. Two lean to the left, the other three lean to the right. And since the Charlie Kirk, since it happened, the one roommate that leans to the left was posting stuff online my daughter didn't necessarily agree with, but they can't have an open conversation about it because, of course, it causes a fight. You know, I think that's the problem. I think that's what Charlie's trying to solve. But I think that's why I don't think it's going to change right away, because people are afraid to still speak out. You make a comment online, if they don't like it, that you get bombarded. You get overwhelmed with these people just hammering away at you online, just trying to tell you wrong and calling names and everything else. I don't do a whole lot of social media, but I've heard the stories. People make one comment about anything that the left doesn't agree with, and they just get just slammed by everybody from every different direction.
What's your advice with your daughter on how to handle a roommate that is posting things about Charlie Kirk that might be offensive? What do you advise her to do?
Well, I told her, I said, I've got twins, and I told her, I said, you guys need to educate yourself. Know what you're talking about. You know, have an educated opinion about something so that when somebody says something, you can actually talk to them, but know what you're talking about. I mean, I try to express that to them for their entire lives, you know. Know what you're talking about. Don't just talk, you know, nonsense, which is what I hear a lot of people do. And they just talk because they hear what they heard on TikTok or they heard what they heard on Instagram, whatever it might be. And they don't really look into what they're talking about. You know, that's why Charlie was so good at what he did, is because he was so educated and so well-informed. He can make an educated argument with you. And that's the problem with these people that try to argue. They didn't know what they're talking about. They're just running along with whatever else is saying.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I were sitting on the couch the other night. We followed the news and everything going on pretty regularly, and we were watching all the stuff with Charlie unfold. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I said, politics is a new religion. It's no longer, it's you know, people are getting killed over the political views, just like people used to get killed over the religious beliefs back in the day. People don't go to church anymore. They go to rallies and they go to this and they go to protests. But, you know, it's really become the new religion. Really sad.
Yeah, it is. Well, stay with your daughters, and it's great that they're talking to you about it. You've done something right there for sure, Andrew. Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I would say that the best advice anybody can give these younger generation is to be informed, to read up on stuff, to stay on top of what's going on in the world, because it's going to affect them more than it's going to affect us old folks.
Yeah, that's certain. Andrew, thank you for the phone call. We're very grateful for it. Let's get to Ty. Ty, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What are your thoughts on whether or not this is a turning point for the country? Ty, are you there? All right, let's get to, I think it's Hennybem. Is that right? Hennybem, thanks for calling the show.
Hennybem?
Yep.
Yes.
Go ahead. What do you think? Yes, is this a turning point for the country?
I think, like the speaker just before, it will take a little time. I thought it was going to take maybe a little bit longer time, but at the event that took place there, and the life of this young man is going to speed it up some. But it's going to take a little recovery for everybody to understand what has happened and the magnanimity of this incident, what it means in the whole world sense. It's going to make people think more seriously and not just see it as an entertainment platform for coming up and speaking to Charlie or whoever replaces Charlie. Because right now it turned out that this guy was shot and died within an instant, and everybody saw it.
Yeah.
That's going to wake up the nation and the young people. I think that is the turning point, and it will be for the positive and faster than I was thinking it was going to be. And people are going to take off, like Charlie would tell you, when they ask him, so what is going to happen when you leave? And he'll point to them and say, you are the one to take over. It's in your hands. So I am sad for it, but I think the country will be waking up seriously and making decisions. These young people are going to go away, and all over the country that follow him are going to see the importance of making good decisions. They are too young to make the right decision, but this will wake them up to talk to older people to help them make the best decision as they grow into the next years ahead of them. Yeah. I think it's going to be an extremely positive situation.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, such so well said. Thank you so much for listening to the show and for commenting there. I love that. Let's get to Eric. Eric, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think about this moment? Is it a turning point?
Well, I think it is a turning point, but I can't see how it's not negative. First and foremost, the fact that they were successful is going to empower others with similar mentality. And we've had these conversations ad nauseum, and the people who are on one side are on one side, the people who are on the other are the other. We don't have, in my opinion, any short-term way to respond that would be in any way positive for this country. And if it happens again, I'm afraid it might be catastrophic.
Eric, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I think that there is a lot of attention that needs to be paid to, you know, the immediacy of what happens next. And I know Patrick Bet-David said that originally he had said when he was on, I think it was Jesse Waters' show, he mentioned that if we saw something like this happen quickly, again, to somebody of the left, that to him that would scream some sort of outward interference in our country to try to stoke a civil war. And, you know, I don't know that there's any validity whatsoever to the foreign interference. You know, there's a lot of discussion about that. There were people reporting that yesterday that they were involved with some foreign intelligence, but they never said what that intelligence was. They didn't say if it was interference. That's never been bandied about in detail, but it's, you don't have to have that be true to stop and think for a second, like, is that all it would take to get this country to go to war with itself? And if it is, we all need to take a deep breath and make sure that doesn't happen for our children. Greg, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Do you think this is a turning point for the country?
Yeah, I think it is a turning point. It scares me that it might be short term. And I just wanted to point out something else, and I just want to get your opinion on it. So I remember 20 years ago when the Grand Theft Auto game came out, and all these kids are playing this game and they're pulling people out of cars and shooting and killing them. The call to arms games where these kids are growing up with the mentality that it's okay to shoot people. And if I remember correctly, the Columbine shooting, when they had the audio recording in the cafeteria, one of the shooters had said something to the nature of, you know, wow, this is just like, you know, the game, you know, Call of Duty. So, you know, it just scares me to death. There's more and more young people committing these crimes, and they grow up playing these games, and they have any kind of discourse and mentality, and they might not be thinking twice about shooting and killing people. Just my opinion, but I think that's a concern we need to address with our younger generation, or maybe have some kind of guidance on these games when they grow up.
Greg, that's
appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. And, you know, a conversation with our young people, yes, but maybe even a bigger conversation with the parents that maybe turn over their children to video game systems for long periods of time. I understand that video gaming can be therapeutic I understand that it can be an outlet for kids to just kind of set aside. We all need those things in our life. But the graphic nature of the games that kids can play, I think it really, like, what you really need there is an empowered and strengthened home structure that encourages parents to be policing the relationship that a child has with the video games and the video game system that they are utilizing. And of course, when they get a little bit older, you're loosening the reins a little bit. But what kind of influence are these video games having on our kids? Not every kid is the same. There's no government law that could be employed that would, you know, keep all the kids who could be incredibly negatively and detrimentally so impacted by the usage of these video games. There are a lot of kids who use video games and are completely fine, and there are parents who are policing it. But we are not having a reasonable, rational conversation about how technology, the internet, gaming, all of this stuff, social media is impacting our youth. We are going to have so many tragic stories, in my opinion, in the next 10, 20 years as the youth get older and they're like, gosh, I realize now that was terrible for me. What was I doing? Parents aren't doing this necessarily. They think they're helping their kids by letting them blow off steam. And for some kids it is. For some kids it isn't. But we should definitely be talking about it. Gary, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Your thoughts on whether or not this is a turning point for the country?
Hello, how you doing today?
Doing okay. Thanks for calling us.
Good to talk to you. Yes, I think it's going to be a huge turning point for the negative in this country. There's so many things that the government can do as far as we're sending drones overseas or whatever to drop bombs or whatever, you know, different countries are doing this right now. Why can't we use that technology at these outside venues like the Kirk thing and Trump to avoid a situation like this, to run a drone or drones over an area within a mile or so of to scout? Why hasn't this happened yet?
Gary, I think I think it's an important question that needs to be asked, and I've thought about this. There's a two-part question here. Did Charlie Kirk not realize that he was so effective that somebody would want him dead? Like, did he not realize his reach and his power to the extent that they didn't employ a security plan that was efficient enough? And, you know, secondly, what you're talking about using drones for surveillance, that's a pretty affordable thing that you can employ.
Yes.
We're going to have to think about this in all sorts of cases in the future. Now, once you realize that something isn't secure, I don't know what happens next, but I feel bad for the Turning Point Charlie Kirk security team, that they're going to feel like they were very insufficient in this.
You know, Annie, that could have been so prevented if they would have done something as simple as that.
Yeah. Gary, thanks for
saving that man's life. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, let's get to one last call. Jackie, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. Your thoughts on whether this is a turning point for the country. Jackie, are you there? Go ahead. Hi, Jackie. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, she's going to hear this probably in a minute. We're going to let her go. All right, let's take a quick break. If you want to weigh in, of course, come to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat and vote. Leave a comment as well, and we will continue to read them throughout the course of the show. Chris said, I'm hoping it's a turning point for good, but there's a part of me that thinks it's going to get worse. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, the people that are going to go, I want revenge, not to have revenge. Charlie Kirk would not want revenge.
He want revenge at the voter
ballot box. That's where to go.
But unfortunately, we don't have so many ballot boxes because they have mail-in voting, which is totally rigged. Okay. You know, there are a lot of problems. I like ballot boxes where you can, they do mail-in voting all over the place, which is rigged. Anytime, right. Jimmy Carter, they had a commission. He said, anytime you have mail-in voting, it's a crooked election, okay? And they got to stop. But I say, so I can't really say the ballot box, because in some cases, like California doesn't have ballot boxes. They send out 38 million ballots. Nobody knows where the hell they're going. Then they come back Democrats get more than Republicans.
Right.
It's so unfair, the system, and we're going to fix this system.
What do you
got? So you got President Trump there answering Brian Kilmeade, asking him on the couch on Fox and Friends. Trump was at the studio on the couch with them, saying, you know, Charlie Kirk wouldn't want revenge. I think that is 100% true. I think the whole purpose of what Charlie Kirk was doing was to participate in political discourse in a way that proved that you could have political discourse without having to fight about it, to just talk. And, you know, Trump says he'd like to have it at the ballot box. And then he does his Trump thing and talks about how many ballot boxes there actually are. All right. Sports and local, you ready?
Hold up. Check it out.
Sports and local.
Here's the thing. I never know what to expect going into this segment.
Ryan's
really did just mail it in.
Clipping your voice and...
He told me at the beginning of the week, hey, I got five that are already made, and you'll have to play them at the end of the week.
It's probably the first five sentences you said in that day. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, done.
I wonder if he specifically put those two as the last ones, knowing I'd have to play my own.
I wish that he would have done put your voice through AI and made it, like, totally whack.
Too much effort for Ryan Wiggins. Sports and...
He'll do anything for a good laugh.
It's very
true. But I guess
true.
If he's not here to enjoy it, it doesn't matter.
Very, very true. Sports and local. We'll go ahead and start with my beloved St. Louis Cardinals. Almost the end of the season.
Have they been officially eliminated yet?
No.
Okay.
In fact...
I said that to my husband last night, and I said to him, I'm pretty sure Ethan would have told me. So I'm waiting.
There's 15 games remaining.
Yeah.
And they're 4 games out. Of a wild card spot.
Of like the last wild card
of
spot?
A wild card spot. So mathematically, they're not eliminated. It
so
would
you're
take.
Saying there's a chance.
It would have to be a pretty amazing 2 weeks to make up 4 games.
What's the magic number? I guess
that
it's,
I don't have
okay,
off the top of my head.
That's fine. I should ask you before. Don't we have a bad magic number?
Yes, there is an elimination number. I just don't have it off the top, but I can get it for you.
What's the season look like? Do they play tough competition? Does it matter?
The rest of the year, you mean?
Yeah.
They face off. It doesn't start well. They got the Milwaukee Brewers this weekend, and the Brew Crew.
That's where Ryan is.
Last I checked. Yeah, they still got the best record in baseball.
Annoying.
Which is really salt in the wound, because the Brewers, they don't spend a lot of money. They just do what the Cardinals
they got
for
that
so
devil
long
magic.
Did well.
It went north. It migrated.
It sure did.
It certainly doesn't exist in St. Louis anymore.
It sure did. So the Cardinals will face off in a 3-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. Andre Pallante will throw for St. Louis. And it's been a very bumpy second half of the season for Andre Pallante, to the point where, you know, there's a lot of questions regarding the starting pitching and what it'll look like for St. Louis in 2026, because there is just so few options right now in organization. Felt like at one point, Andre Pallante was a shoo-in, and now because he struggled so much, unfortunately, I don't know if he is. So,
can you give me 3 really bright spots for the future of the Cardinals?
Oh, absolutely. It wouldn't take much. There are positive things in the works. It's just going to have to take time. And the one word that fans don't want to hear is that's the word really it's going to require.
Time?
I was going to say patience, but basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. New upper management coming in. And I think they're going to be very open and honest about the messaging. So what?
Okay, time out. We're gonna break this down a little bit. You just said new management is coming in.
New upper management.
So pretend that you're talking to somebody who loves the Cardinals and doesn't really get into the weeds mm-hmm. with the business of the Cardinals. Expects to watch a winning team. Expects to watch a playoff competitive team. And for years now, we haven't had that. There's a lot of grumbling. People don't understand. I'm talking to the people who don't understand the inner workings of the business of baseball. What was that isn't going to be anymore? What's going to be new that people can say, okay, this is the shift? Like super brass tacks, class 100 level.
Talk about setting it up on a silver platter. So if I... So here's how I would break this down. For the last, man... probably 20 years, no, not 20, a little under 20, 15 years or so. John Mozeliak.
All right, now we're naming names.
Has been either the general manager.
Bow tie in chief.
Or the president of baseball operations. He has been the top dog, the main decision maker for the St. Louis Cardinals organization.
Follow-up question?
Yep.
When you say main decision maker, what does that entail? Personnel?
Personnel. Everything goes
starting pitchers?
Everything goes through Mozeliak.
Game plan? Day-to-day game plan?
To a certain extent, on the on-field decisions as far as how a lineup is constructed and tend to be the field manager's job, but more than ever, a president of baseball operations, a general manager, is involved in those decisions. So Ollie Marmol has the freedom to make those calls, but around baseball, a lot of front office guys like that are getting involved in those kinds of decisions. John Mozeliak is retiring after 15 years as the top dog in the Cardinals organization. He is retiring after the 2025 season. John Mozeliak was widely known as one of, if not the best, general managers in baseball in the first half of his career. And somewhere along the way, things got lost. What made the Cardinals so good was their ability to draft well and to develop their own talent.
The farm system was always a bragging point.
It was, we were always the team that was ahead of everyone else.
So you just said something there that I think is important to highlight. You're saying that it was, I'm going to say, legendarily great, and it isn't anymore.
Correct.
So two things are true. It's not he's 100% great or he's 100% awful. That's not as easy to get people all worked up
about. He is responsible for a lot of the success that the Cardinals had in the late 2000s, the early 2010s. Huge piece of it.
Some World Series
victories. He's also, in part, a huge piece of the responsibility behind the downfall and bad decision-making and allowing for the DNA of the St. Louis Cardinals to get lost.
Can I ask, when you say DNA, what about, you know, the thought of the Cardinal way? It feels like it's the Cardinal wayward at this point. I still believe that how Cardinals go about their business and when the red jackets, the red coats come back to participate, I bet you that in practice, the Cardinal way is still alive and very well. But there's a little bit of quiet success that goes along with that. The Cardinal way is not exactly boastful. It's not flashy. It's petulantly annoying to teams that they have to play regularly because that devil magic that we were talking about before that you said is annoying about Milwaukee used to be kind of our thing. Mm-hmm. Is the Cardinal way still the way? Well, I do not like your hesitation.
Yes, but I'm just trying to think of how exactly to word this. Yes, but all of baseball has modernized, and the Cardinals have been stuck in the past. And there is a way in which you can still hold on to the tradition and the class that is very well defined in the Cardinal way, how you conduct yourself as a ball player, while still being able to modernize and keep up with the latest of the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Because I don't think that the Cardinal way is only ever one thing. It's going to evolve with time.
Yes.
But there's an integrity that is
correct
at the epicenter of that,
correct,
which I still feel when I say I'm a Cardinals fan. Mozeliak retiring.
Mozeliak is retiring.
And then the future looks like what?
The Cardinals, 2 years ago, brought in Chaim Bloom. He has been an executive in Major League Baseball for a while now. They brought him in 2 years ago as a special advisor. And people immediately started, okay, that's got to mean something at some point. And then last offseason, they announced that this year he would be the head of player development and transition into being the president of baseball operations when John Mozeliak moved on from that position.
Currently head of player development right now.
Correct.
Next year.
President of baseball operations. He will be the head honcho.
Is he going to wear a bow tie?
No, I doubt it. He never has up to this point. That's why I say no. I love both bow ties.
We do need to modernize, but I like the bow tie.
That is one of the big positives. He knows how to develop players well. He has done that in both Tampa Bay and Boston, revitalized both of their farm systems. And the Cardinals have some young talent that there is reason to be excited about right now that is both starting to work their way to the majors, and some of it I would argue that's already at the majors. There's individual pieces that give you reason for encouragement. It's just going to take time for those pieces to develop and for them to get back to being able to be one of the best.
Ethan, you know my son's a baseball-loving 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed with baseball. He was born in December of 2009. Think about the baseball he's witnessed in his life.
Oh, that's awful.
Isn't that sad?
So sad.
Yeah.
I was 11 for 2011.
Yeah. Is there a better age to experience?
I mean, talk about a childhood dream.
Totally.
Can't imagine not having been able to witness that in that run.
Well, I grew up in the 90s and stuff got real good when I could afford to drive myself to the game. So well, hopefully that'll be the case for Charlie as well. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're asking you on the Annie Frye YouTube channel to go vote. Tell us, is this the turning point for the country? Yes, for the better. Yes, for the worse. Or no, nothing changes. I'm also asking you right now to give us your Ask Us Anything questions. So we're going to do that in the 2 o'clock hour. It's Ethan's birthday. That's exciting. Woohoo! How old are you now?
25.
What's that feel like?
What does it feel like? I woke up this morning. My back hurt. Got up real slow. I was like, ugh.
Oh my.
That's about it.
Your back hurt this morning?
My back hurts half the time when I wake up because I choose to sleep in positions that my body doesn't like anymore.
Why? Well, how do you sleep?
How do I visualize this?
Like this.
On my
explain it to her the way you explained it to me.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
You already had this conversation. This isn't even made up for
like
radio.
Literally this week. I sleep, when my back hurts, it's because I sleep on my stomach, head turned to my left, and I have my left leg.
On your stomach.
Yep, left leg is like at a right angle next to me. It's kicked up. It's like on its side.
You need a.
You following me?
Yeah, sort of. Can we take a picture and post it on our social media?
I don't care.
Of you laying like that?
Yeah. Do it right now. We can take this picture right now.
I can't. I gotta talk.
Okay.
Do you? You need a hip pillow, which is just an extra pillow that's like a king size pillow that's big. You need to do that so that you got something to embrace.
The problem is that the rest of my body is like. Straight on its stomach, so I'm not curled to the side.
Yeah, but you need to change that.
I know.
Because your back hurts.
I know.
And you're old.
That I sleep with 5 pillows, regular sized pillows, every night.
Where do they all go?
Okay. So, one for my head.
Give me a diagram. Yeah.
One between my arms.
Hugging.
Yep.
Yeah.
One between my legs.
Yeah.
One on my feet, because I hate when my feet touch when I sleep. So that's 4.
That's fair. You hate when? Do you wear socks?
No. Oh God. I'm not a sicko. That's 4.
You sleep with a pillow between your feet so your feet don't touch.
Yeah.
You might be weirder than me.
Sometimes
this is a fantastic development for me.
And then sometimes 2, but at my head.
I'm just glad he hugs his pillow because I do that too. I thought I was weird for that.
My wife's is really big on.
Does she get any pillows?
Does she get any part of the bed? She sleeps with one.
The judgment on your face when you delivered that message.
She's fine with it. She's like, lays down for 2 seconds, she's out. I'm not like that. I have to be like, all set up, all
set up. She's like the man in this relationship, and you're like the woman.
Well.
Are your pillows decorative pillows on your bed?
No, but what I was about to say is she likes stuffed animals, though. Big stuffed animal gal. She has a big Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
Stitch, that's what she usually has her arms around.
I have the teddy bear I used to sleep with when I was a little girl. And I don't know how many people are going to remember this, but at Kmart, when it got to be kind of Christmas time, New Year's Eve time, they would have this white stuffed bear and it would have a red hat, like a snow, like a cold weather, like stocking cap on it. And it would have the year on it. And the year on mine was 1988. And it's just a white stuffed animal. And it was it's the size of like a queen size pillow. Or probably a little standard size pillow, queen size pillow. But it was the perfect size for exactly what you're talking about. If you're kind of curled up, it kind of sits on your lap underneath your chin and you can hold it. And it gives your arms a place to go so they're not just like...
Everywhere
randomly. Now, I've been able to replace that with a pillow, but one of my younger daughters sleeps with that teddy bear. And when I see it, I'm like, I still kind of want to hold that thing. But I'm like, I'm 40 and I can't.
Why?
Because I'm 41.
So?
How long?
Use a sleep mask?
No. I have a sleep mask that has Bluetooth speakers in it.
Oh.
Headphones.
Whoa.
And I like that. I used that a lot when I couldn't sleep to put like spa music or, you know, just noise, white noise thing in it. But I don't know where it went. And I've been looking for it lately.
This is how picky I've gotten. So now I used to, when I didn't have one, I would put a stocking cap over my eyes, like I'd drape it like low enough to cover my face, so I'd keep one constantly on my bed.
Yeah.
And but now I have a sleep mask, And
you are a woman.
And I have to have white noise. So I have at least two fans on every night.
Do you put cucumbers on your eyes before a sleep mask?
Never actually done that.
Take
well,
a little
I'm not
puffiness out of your lower eyelids?
No, my sister tells me I need to put ice on my face in the mornings to depuff it.
Your sister told you that?
Yeah.
Sounds like something a sister would say.
Yeah.
Ethan, your face is looking a little puffy. You should do something about that.
She would just say, you look ugly as heck.
Oh, sisterly love. You can't replace it.
Uh-huh.
It is Ethan's birthday today, so give us some of your comments. Maybe we'll feature some of the good ones. And we'll talk about that in the next hour. We also have Ask Us Anything coming up, our next question segment. So leave us your thoughts of what you'd like us to answer. And you go to the Andy Fry YouTube channel to do it. We'll be right back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.